True help. Where do we get our help? True help cometh from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. He's the one that made the heavens, the earth, the hills, everything. He is my Father, but he's also the Creator. And I was looking in Genesis chapter 2. This is going to go a little bit into what Gene had spoke about, but then we're going to go on with it. But in chapter 1 of Genesis, I always have seen this where he said, God said, let us make man, and God said, let there be light, and God said. But when you get to chapter 2, and God saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. Okay, when you get to chapter 2, thus the heavens and earth were finished, all the host of them. And there now it's going to start something totally different when you get down to four. Let me keep looking up. I might find another one. Okay. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, every plant of the field. Okay, and he's doing all this, for the Lord God caused it, had not caused it to rain yet upon the earth. And there was, because there he wasn't even a man to till the ground. So I want you to get that in perspective. What about what period of time this was going on? Man was not here as of yet. He was in the plan. Woman was in the plan. But when you keep going, the Lord God formed that man. In verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden. Verse 9, and out of that ground made the Lord God to everything to grow. And I wrote this down because it's the Lord God is a personal covenant that he makes. And he's not just the covenant maker. He's the strong one. He's the one who is, this is an intimate walk. This is walking and talking with God. Man is going to know him on this level. He's a covenant-making God, and he promises he's going to take him all the way to the finishing of it. And as I kept going, I looked, and it said, the Lord God made every tree. Who's he doing this for? He's getting everything prepared for this man, everything. And he told him, he said, when you keep going, it's going to go down. And he said in verse 15, the Lord God took that man, because it was the Lord God that took the man and made him. The Lord God took that man. He put him in the Garden of Eden. And why did he put him there? To dress it and to keep it. Why did the Lord give us Jesus? To dress us, give us the right kind of clothing, righteous garments, and also the power of the Holy Ghost is keeping us. We are being kept by the very power of God. The Lord God was the one he commanded. Now get this before we go on. The Lord God commanded the man. The woman's not on the scene yet. He commanded the man, out of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. He's going to talk to man. And then he comes to him in verse 18. The Lord God said, it's not good. It's not good that a man should be alone. I will make. The Lord God will make a helpmeet for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. And then he told Adam, you're going to give a name to every one of them. So look at this time they're having together. This is God and man. But then he said, it's not good that he be alone. And the Lord God in verse 21 caused a deep sleep. And I'm telling you, the church is asleep. Some are asleep and don't even know it. They're asleep. The Lord God is the one who caused a sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. Out of that man, taking a rib portion And we remember that as you go on, you're going to see what happened. The serpent, we learned that from Paul. I have espoused you to one husband. And he said, and the thing is, he said, I fear lest Satan, the serpent, is going to come and he's going to beguile you. Such trickery and deception. And we've already been told the days we're living in, deception is going to get worse. It's not man. It's the deception of the devil. And we need to be prayer warriors. We need to seek our Lord. We need to come before the throne of grace. What did the woman do? It was the woman that the serpent went to. And we know women have feelings. We have emotions. We have deep, it's heartfelt. And it's like he went to the woman and he's going to change the word of God. He's going to try to trick her. He's going to try to sway her. Come on, come this way. We were warned of this. We've already been told by God's word we're without excuse. Because Paul said, I love you with a godly jealousy. And he said, I want you to get the truth, but I fear lest Satan in his subtlety is going to come in and he's going to trick you. Trickery. We're supposed to be wiser than serpents and harmless as a dove. But see, we got to get that in order. We got to be wiser than a serpent, but harmless as a dove. We don't want to bring harm to his body in any way. But we do want to care and uphold. And only God knows the way to do that. The woman did not ask the man one thing. She took it in her own hands to talk to the enemy. You know, a lot of times we see things and this is something that's been on my heart for months. We see these things going on and we begin to take it into our own hands. Oh, well, I'm not this, or nope, nope, nope. Did you even go to the head of his body? The head of his body. He bought them with a price. That bride is very dear to his heart. He paid a ultimate price for her. The blood of Jesus. The joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he is now seated at the right hand of his Father. What's he doing? He's making intercession. He's making intercession for her. And as we take our place in him, we're going to enter into that. So when you're going through a trial, and we've been through trials, we've come through trials, some it could have taken our life. And I think of Jehoshaphat. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles. Boy, I wanted to ask Jesse, can I speak one more message while I was out there? It just kept coming on my heart, and the Lord said, wait, I say, wait, wait on the Lord. Chapter 20 of Chronicles. It came to pass after this also. Okay, there's already been a defeat over in 2 Chronicles 18 of the defeat and death of Ahab. And Jehoshaphat was right there. There's a lot going on here. But he's learning. We're learning. But always remember to learn. We have a need. I must go to him. He wants to show me everything. It came to pass after this also, the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, with them other, there was even more, beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Coming against him. One man. Why? He's the leader of many. But he's going to come against one man. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, people. They came and said, oh, there cometh a great multitude against you. They're coming. They're coming against you. From beyond the sea, and on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazar Tamar. And that's where I wrote down palm trees. There's divisions. There's pruning going on. And En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat feared. And I always thought he was scared because of what he had just gone through. Well, I looked it up and I said, no, this was reverential fear. He knew who to go to. He knew where he made mistakes before. I could go over and in the one, well, I won't go there. But there's a, yeah, I will. In chapter 19, verse 3, this was Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. And he was told, nevertheless, there are good things Jehoshaphat found in you. Can we say that? There are good things found in thee, in that you have taken away the groves out of the land, and you prepared your heart to seek God. Have we prepared our heart to really seek the Lord? I'm telling you, I've been hearing those songs, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Take your silver, take your gold, take your homes, take it all. I'd rather have Jesus. And I'd rather be sheltered in the arms of God. Because it's a secure place. It's a nice place to rest. And as we go on, now you remember, you've got to get, Jehoshaphat is a leader. He's a leader. Leaders must be an example to the flock. Pastors must be an example to the flock. Jehoshaphat feared first. And it's like he was believing in the power and the majesty of God rather than the power of men. He feared. Now he set himself to seek the Lord. That's the second thing. I know God can do this. I'm trusting in God's power, not in my weakness. He knows, Jehoshaphat knows, only God can prevail in these things. And those are lessons we have to learn. We're going through. You may step out and try to fight a battle. But the Lord said the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. All right, he was seeking the Lord. And he said, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And I was thinking, I don't know if you've ever been called on one. Usually if you are, though, you don't go around telling everybody. He calls you on a fast. Sometimes you'll just, I remember one time it was just green beans. I just wanted green beans. That's all I wanted. And that's what I did. But I didn't even know because I had to grow. I was learning. Has he not called us on a fast? Our fast is, eat ye of my son. Be a partaker. Drink of the blood. Eat the bread. Eat that very life. The words that I give you, they are life. It's the life you now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God. He loved me. You see, that life you live, it's by faith, the faith. So you have to eat. You must be a partaker of Jesus and all he is for you to live that holy life. So he had a fast. Some people think people are more holy because they fast and they pray, and it's really not true. Fasting and prayer, even praying, it's because you know who you need to get your help from. You're drawing even closer. It's a stronger dependence upon him. You're going to see him in all ways, the height, the depth, the breadth, everything there is. Judah gathered themselves together to ask what? Help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Okay? You're coming to ask help. All right, now get this, because you're going to see they gathered together as one body seeking their help from the Lord. Forsake not the assembling. I'll tell you, we need each other right now. And we need the gifts of the power of the Holy Spirit, the moving of the Spirit, the moving of the water of God's word in his house. It's not to show, oh, look at me, I'm spiritual, I can speak with tongues, or I can interpret. It's God wanting to talk to his body. They need the strength. They need him in everything. He's giving us direction. He will talk to you and tell you, this is what's going on. They gathered themselves together. It was to ask help of the Lord and to seek him. Jehoshaphat, remember the leader? He stands up in the congregation of Judah. What will this leader do with the people who were there gathered together? He stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, I love the words of this leader. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Oh, there are many gods here on earth, many we call upon, many things that we rely on other than God. Lord God of our fathers, art not thou the God in heaven? Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In thy hand, we know what that hand speaks of, power, might, authority. In your hand, is there not power and might that none is going to be able to withstand thee? He's just telling God, this is what I've learned from you. This is what I depend on. I can rest in the shelter of the mighty arms of God and know thou art for me. You're for them. He wants to get this so we enter into this place of assurance and confidence. But notice, it all points to him. Christ is the center of all things. Art not thou our God? You're our God. Jesus prayed that in John 17. I want them to know the one true God. Why? So they can have that time of communion, fellowship like we had together. Art not thou our God? And he's reminding, this is in his memory. You drove out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel. You gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. Did you not do this, God? Boy, that encourages my heart. Or going in Hebrews and study in all those men of faith. Let me tell you, by faith they did it. Faith came by hearing what God said to them. And they just stepped out and believed him, but they couldn't just sit there. They couldn't just sit there and become complacent and say, God's going to do it. He is going to do it. But he said, we are the children of God's grace. He giveth the ability. He gives it to you, the responsibility according to the ability that God giveth. It's no longer you that's performing anything. I only walk by grace. I give a lesson by God's grace. It's all him. Yes, he's going to complete it. Yes, he's going to finish it. But be willing to be a submissive vessel unto God and yield to his word. He said, you gave them the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. They dwelt therein. And built you a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, why did they build a sanctuary? Because we're going to see it right here. If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, oh, we stand before this house. We stand before this house in your presence. Come boldly to the throne room of grace. There's mercy and grace to help in the time of need. In thy presence, What better presence do you want? In thy presence, for thy name is in this house. And cry unto thee in our affliction. Then will thou hear us, and you will help. What did the leader do in the very beginning? He feared, he reverenced, he knew God could do it. He knew it. I'm telling you, this is going to become the full overcomer's life. This is her life. She will be resting in him in all things. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. You will. I'm telling you, you will. But he'll raise you back up. And you're going to be stronger than you were the day before. He's going to give you more grace. Now behold, the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade them, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of your out of thy possession, which thou hast given to us to inherit. We have an inheritance. Oh, we're heirs of God, but we're joint heirs, if so be that you suffer with him. Oh, our God, I've just really enjoyed this lately. Oh, our God. Will you not judge them? Why do I have to do it? Why do we think we have to go in and say something or we have to do something? God's going to judge it. That's where we take our place. But God judges perfectly. He knows every individual. He knows every heart. He knows how to judge righteous judgment without hurting or bringing harm to his body. He may use you, but I guarantee you, he'll prepare you for the task. He giveth the grace. We have no might against this great company. I love that. We don't have any might against this great company. This is not just one person. This is many coming against truth, against Jehoshaphat. We don't have any might against this great company that cometh against us. Why? Because when you profess truth, you're going to be under attack. You will be under attack. So I need him to keep me strong, to keep me standing. I don't really have to say anything unless he says, say it. Neither know we what to do. I don't even know what to do. See, these are people that made this sanctuary. They made this place to worship the Lord, their God. It's because they know they're growing. We don't have any might against them. We don't even know what to do. Have you ever come to that place in your life? I don't even know what to do. Lord, I've been praying. I've been asking. I still don't know what to do. What do you do then? Wait on the Lord. Don't be like Eve in the very beginning. We've been put on a greater ground now. Just go to your husband. Ask him. Who's the head of this body? Does he not know what every part? Does he knows who's asleep. And he knows how to wake them up. We go, oh, they're sleeping. Oh, I want them to make the bride. I want them to be ready. I want them to this. Well, he wants them. That's why that is on your heart. That's Christ in you. I want to give them every opportunity while there is a day to enter into that. We don't know what to do, Lord, but I'll tell you what, my eyes are upon you. I want to see what you're going to do. I'm not going to sit back and think you're not going to do nothing. Yes, he is going to do something. We need to enter into that rest, that joy. Enjoy it. And all Judah stood before the Lord. They even had their little ones. They had their wives. They had their children. guess what happens? Remember I told you we need the gifts working amidst our people, the body. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, one man assembled with these people. One man. The son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. In the midst. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through. He knows where we're going. He wants to talk to us. If his body won't yield that way, the Lord will just speak to you one-on-one. There are many ways he can do it. He's not always going to do it the same way, and always remember that. But I think when he's going to use someone for tongues and interpretation, it's going to get quiet. All the doves are going to be, you know, at first there's worship, and then it's like, woo, all the doves begin to just coo, and they just rest, because he's about ready to speak. Be still, know that I'm God. I'm going to talk to you. You know this. He's going to teach you that. That you're waiting to hear from him. You're in submission to his will. Okay, right in the midst of the congregation, Haziel, the Spirit of God came on him. He said, "Hearken, you all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou king of Jehoshaphat." He's including them all. "Thus saith the Lord," not Jehaziel. "Thus saith the Lord unto you." Now notice, yeah, God's going to do it, but didn't he use a vessel? Yes. He's giving his power upon that vessel. "Saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid." I'm going to tell you, we're in a day that fear is on a rampage. And the only reason why fear is there is because you think you got to do something. There's a difference between fear and resting in the Lord. "The inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you." So everybody is responsible for what you hear and what you do with it. Not judge the person that's doing it. "Well, I don't think that's what I heard." Well, you didn't speak out either, so take a seat. "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid." Don't be dismayed. Don't let it confuse you. Don't be confused by reason of this great multitude. We're God's people. Why would God allow this? Because he's settling you, establishing you, and strengthening you, and getting your roots grounded, that you be not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The battle is not yours. It is God's. Well, then why did he tell me to put on the whole armor of God? Because it's him. He's the hope. Everything's him. And until we can see that, until we see the wielding of the sword, the word of God, until we can really see it the way God sees it, we'll have to keep growing and going through these different things. I love this. He tells them, the battle's not yours, it's God's. "Tomorrow I want you to go down against them. Behold, they're going to come up by the cliff as is." Now think of this. This is a guy speaking by the power and the Spirit of God in the midst of a congregation. "They're going to come up by the cliff of Ziz. You're going to find them at the end of the brook." This is so specific. "Before the wilderness of Jeriel." Again, he's in the Spirit. He's speaking for the Lord. "You shall not need fight in this battle. Set yourselves," set, be fixed. "Set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you." Now, he said tomorrow, go down. Why do I have to go down then? I thought you were going to fight the battle, Lord. Because you are the body. He can do whatever he wants. But we just can't sit there and say he's going to do it. He's going to say, go ye down, stand ye still, set yourselves. Tomorrow, go out against them. Tomorrow, perfect timing, God's timing. The Lord will be with you to show up to the battle. Show up. Don't run from it. Show up. Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground. This is when you know you've heard from the God that they were seeking. And all Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they fell before the Lord and they were worshiping him. That's the way it really should be. The Levites and the children of the Kohathites, the children of the Korahites, they stood up and they praised the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They rose up early in the morning. Wonder what they did. They went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat, here's their leader again. What an example. He stands up and he says, hear me. Hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. What is he going to say to them? Believe in the Lord your God. We heard from him. Now you believe it. So shall you be established, settled, strengthened, unwavering. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. You see, it's not the person who speaks, it's the message they're giving. They're a yielded vessel to let God talk to his people. When he had consulted with the people, what was the next thing he did? He appointed some singers. Victory is singing. He appointed singers unto the Lord. Everything we do it as unto the Lord, that should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, you're going out before an army. You're going in. You already know. The Lord's already told you. There's going to be a battle. Don't be afraid. I'm right there with you. You can't see me. You're going by faith, people. Amen. Go in there. Praise the Lord. His mercy, it endures forever. It's new every morning. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. The children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay them and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. I like this. Well, now Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, and they looked. Remember that great multitude that's coming against us? What are we going to do? We don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you, Lord. That multitude, behold, there were dead bodies. Dead bodies fallen right down to the earth where their strength remains. None escaped. Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, and they found among them abundance of riches out of those dead bodies and precious jewels they stripped off for themselves. But you know, I always say, when you go into a battle or when you go into a valley, make sure, because if God is ordaining this, you're going to come out with much more than you went in with. You're going to know his strength in a greater way. His power, his authority. You see, when he used different ones, he was in the power of the authority of God. What are we doing with authority? Are we even listening? It was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Beroch, and they blessed the Lord. You see where it all points to the Lord? It's continuous. Look to the Lord, seek the Lord, look to the Lord, believe the Lord. Now, assemble yourselves, for they blessed the Lord for this. The name of the place was called the Valley of Beroch unto this day. And they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them. Here he is. Jehoshaphat is still there. This is not an easy time. Jehoshaphat is in the forefront of them. He's right in front of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord made them to rejoice over their enemies. You're not going to rejoice over your enemies. You may think you look like it, but I'm telling you, when it's by God's grace, you'll truly rejoice over your enemies because they have no power over you. They have none. And they came to Jerusalem. Look what they did. They bring their psalteries, their harps, their trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. See, they're watching. They're seeing how you may not see it yet. You may have really been hurt, but you're going to see it. If God told you you're going to see it, you're going to see it. And if you really have love, you want to see it. They heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So what's the conclusion? So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. Yeah. Doesn't the Lord like a quiet wife? She's resting. For God gave him rest round about. And I shared this with Shelley, and I know it'll be later in a message, because I was talking to my sister, and we were talking. I told her, wow, last week I did sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I want you to think about some. That alabaster box, pastor box, there was a lot of oil in there. There was a lot of oil. Here knows. Take strong oil. Just put a little on. Can you smell it? We're talking a woman who took the oil and anointed him for burial, and she took her hair and she wiped his feet. When she walked away, do you think you're going to smell all that oil? Yeah. Be a sweet smelling savor unto all those that you pass by. With the oil of his anointing, the Holy Ghost, a sweet fragrance. It's powerful. She was in one accord. She knew he was going to die for her. But I love it because now he's become her head. Where's that oil? Where's that oil? The woman's hair is a glory to her husband. To her husband. How do you smell? Is there a fragrance? Because I'm telling you, I've been around. I think of Sister Julie Tye's mother, and I couldn't hug her. I just couldn't, because it was just, she liked a certain perfume. I could not do it. It took my breath away. And she said, why won't you hug me? And I said, I can't. But I love this. When we really have on the true anointing right here, when you rub up against somebody, you're going to smell just like them when you walk away from them. It's going to get all over you. It's all over your clothes. You smell like him. That's what I want. I'm praying for his body that we let his anointing go forth, that you smell unto God a sweet-smelling savor. And we come against when we're with each other and we hug each other. We have his anointing smell. It's going from one to the other. And I believe that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. We've lost that good place, that place where we can have true fellowship. But if you're going to have fellowship, it's got to be around truth. truth. So what level can you fellowship? Only on the level where there's truth. That's it. I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for this. The Lord really encouraged my heart. And I said, oh gosh, I'm so thankful, Lord, for this message. Because you're going to take these things. You're going to fight our battles for us. Thank God we can come into the throne room. Amen. You know, when you get up there and get in the holiest of holies, turn around and look at everything he did for you. Everything from the very opening gate. When you were on the outside, you couldn't see nothing. But he has allowed you to enter in, and you're seeing the beauty of his holiness. Now you're in the holiest place of all, in the very presence of God. Let's all stand.